Friends, at this time, I want to bring up Jim's story. Jim's a member here at Clearview, and God's used his story, his experiences, his life in a very meaningful way in the ministry that Dave and his team leads. And so, Jim, would you come forward? I'd like to bring you before the congregation, let you introduce Dave Reaver.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, church. My name is Jim Story, and I'm a Vietnam vet. My wife, Kathy, made me promise not to make jokes about my southern accent this morning. She said instead to make fun of Chris Carroll because he has a southern accent, too. So. Usually I make fun of Zach, but he's not here, so that's going to make it easier for me. You've heard me tell that you don't have to be in the military to have post-traumatic stress. I think Zach's wife, Kath, is a perfect example of that. She has double post-traumatic stress. First, from raising four children, and second, from trying to raise Zach. I'm proud to be with you here today. I served with the 101st Airborne in Vietnam in 1969 and 1970. As I look out, I see friends, I see family, I see heroes. We have a lot of heroes in this church. Last night we had a wonderful gathering at the gathering place. We had about 25 vets there. And Dave can tell you that God was with us. You could feel his presence there. Pete Kuiper was with us, and I want to thank Pete for his input last night. I just recently got done with a 2-week session with Pete in therapy. Pete told Dave last night that I didn't need a therapist, I need a lawyer. Pete also told me during these 2 weeks that I need to change my lifestyle. I'm getting too old for wine, women, and song. So I have an announcement to make this morning. I'm giving up singing. We did have a wonderful gathering last night. Kathy Wampler made me promise that we would not let Dave speak too much. We wanted him fresh for today. So after 2 hours of speaking, Kathy started giving me this look like, I'm going to shave your head and send you back to Vietnam. Today it's my honor and privilege to introduce to you my hero, my mentor, and my fellow soldier in God's army, Mr., Doctor, and all these other names, Dave Reaver.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. What a joy to be back and be at Clearview. I had such a wonderful visit last year. I said when I left, I hope they'll invite me back again. I don't have to ask for places to go. I've got plenty. But when I like someplace, I want to go back. So I think the highest compliment I can give you as a church and a community is that I wanted to come back. It's so beautiful here, not to mention the aesthetics of the community, the mountains, the beautiful smell of the junipers, but it's the people and the presence of the Lord here. So I hope you've had a good year since I last saw you. It's probably been one of my best years. I've always said, and I mean this for most of my career, I've said 70 will probably be the best year of a man's life. It's the positive view of the perfect storm. Many things in life start coming together about 70. You have not only your children, then you have grandchildren, and in a few cases, great-grandchildren. But the lessons you've learned and the lessons you've taught are something that have had time to be proven. And so if you're in the 70 range, we're just getting started. That's the way I feel. People ask me all the time how old I am. I say, I'm 69 going on 40. According to Hollywood, 40 is the new 20, and according to Common Core Math, I'm 19. So I'm a happy camper this morning. But for time's sake, while I'd love to just visit and visit, but I don't want to miss what I'm here to do. And one of those things is to introduce to you Kathy Wampler. I've asked her to perform a particular song. I never go anywhere without Dave and Kathy. She and her husband have been with me coming up this year. I'm 26 years. Most marriages don't last that long. And I've asked her to do a particular song. And if you see me looking down, it's the lights are bright, and that's good. They need to stay on, but they reflect off my glasses, so I have to look down a little bit to look at you. Otherwise, I can't see you, but your beautiful smiling faces are all out there. So I know that you're excited to hear from Kathy this morning. This song that I've asked her to sing is one that has been a standard of the church, not a relic of the church. It's been around for decades. But the story behind it is one of the most amazing stories, where Horatio Spafford wrote, having lost three of his daughters in a horrible shipping accident, and standing on the deck of a ship over the watery grave of his daughters, he wrote the song. I put it in the form of a question. She'll sing it in the form of a statement. And the question is it well with your soul? Would you give a nice welcome to Kathy Wampler?
I want to just add to that statement. Dave is so right for the question for us to ask ourselves this morning. And if you've just even watched the news this morning, we live in a world that we need to know ourselves that it is well with our soul. Anything can happen at any point in time, and we need to know where we're going when we die. And we need to share with others so that they too can say, yes, it is well with my soul.
you can understand why Jim Story and I don't sing. We would have to follow that. What a beautiful song and very beautifully sung. Her albums are available right outside the door. You have three of them here this weekend. And if you like that kind of music that just sets the stage for your life and make you miss a few exits, that's the songs to listen to. We have a brand new item available. Did not have it last year. It just came on the market. It's called War Stories, Warrior Stories. And it's featuring amazing young men and women who have fought for our freedom or have fought for their lives in some horrific incident where God himself saw them through. It is an award-winning program. It actually won an international telly. We are ecstatic about that. That's available to you this morning in a book called Scarred, which is autobiography. You can tell I'm trying to hurry. We want to get through this. An autobiography means it's my story. I wrote it. It also has been updated to our tours into Iraq and Afghanistan. That's available this morning. By the way, the endorsements on that book came from Ronald Reagan and Billy Graham. Now, if Mr. Graham lives a little longer, he's still a living legend. And Ronnie Reagan's long since gone. But in my relationship with both of those men as I developed my career, I figure if they were willing to endorse my book, maybe you would enjoy it too. A book called War and Recovery. It just came out when we were here last year. If you don't have it, be sure and get it. It is more of what that book, that collection of DVDs is about. War stories are something you need to hear. Here's why. Listen carefully. Freedom is not free. Amen? Everybody in this room knows that. These young people, they know that. And by the way, it's so good to see so many young people in the front row. I like that. Usually, you know, they're in the back row writing notes and spitwads. I love it when I see young people front and center. But this War and Recovery is also the title or the name of a television program every Tuesday night at 9:30 Colorado time. Every Tuesday night at 9:30 following the Praise the Lord flagship program of Trinity Broadcast Network. Yours truly, and even Jim Story, was there for the week of preparation for these, where we did these 13 episodes that are just taking the country by storm. You'll enjoy that. Finally, if you have a child or a grandchild in public school system, you need this book. Nobody's Ever Cried for Me is not a statement of my own. It was a little girl, 15 years old, raped by her stepfather. And when she told me her story, I couldn't help myself. I just literally began to weep. And one of the cardinal rules of counseling is you don't touch your clients. Much more so is that rule true when you don't touch a teenage girl client when you're in a public school or any other time if you want to keep your head. And when she told me that, I lost it. I started crying, threw my arms around her, boohooed all over her sleeve and snotting and carrying on. She's patting me on the back saying, "We have a counselor, mister. You'll be all right." It's an amazing book. If you take all three books, we'd love to throw in something special. It's our little warrior bracelet. It's 14-karat nylon, but it's a remembrance. It's your remembrance to pray for our troops. There's a little card comes with it. Take the moment to say thank you to a warrior. I'm not looking for names and addresses. I'm looking for people who are grateful for their freedom. And when you write a thank you and a note about how good Jesus is, I will personally hand deliver that note that you write this morning and leave here. I'll hand deliver it when I go back to Afghanistan shortly, and we will be able to give your encouragement to a warrior in the battlefield. And that's not a bad program, is it? I've watched them sit down with tears in their eyes reading those little handwritten notes. Finally and last, to the staff at the church, we're trying to help them live your life so the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral. Thank you, Kathy. I thought you might like that. May I be seated occasionally as I speak? Is that all right with you? And being cautious of our time, I do want to make sure I am entertaining enough to hold your attention for the next about 30 minutes. And if you can stick with me for this, I believe the presence of the Lord mixed with the words that I think I'm inspired to share can change your life. Not because of who I am. So let's get the record straight. None of these materials, these books, these videos, none of that's about Dave. It's about Christ in the life of Dave. We're not here today to talk about Dave. We're here to talk about Jesus. And if you take Jesus out of the picture, Dave doesn't have a story. Well, I'll have a story, but it'll be called a tragedy, not a triumph. And I want everybody to understand that this is not a Dave Reaver show. This is a presentation of the power of a living God through his son Christ manifest in the life of just one guy in the crowd. But every one of us are living examples of the presence of Christ in our lives when we allow him to express himself in our daily walk. How many friends? This is a tough question. How many friends know you profess to call yourself a Christian? Someone once said, and I don't know who, but boy, it's powerful. If I were arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict me? Isn't that that's a powerful thought, isn't it? What does your life have enough evidence of to verify your claim? I think it was Nietzsche. I'm not certain, but I think it was Nietzsche, the philosopher, who said, if the man who calls himself a Christian, if his words do not verify his deeds and his deeds don't verify his words, he's a liar. I don't want to be a liar. I want my life to count. Men like Jim Story, who have been downrange and know the truth of war, and many of you as Vietnam veterans and some of our Desert Storm veterans here and some of the more modern war on terror for the last 14 years, you guys, you've been there, done that, you've seen it. What you say has verification. And today, I hope I can add to the heroism of your experience in giving your life in any form or fashion, any expression of sacrifice. I want it to be validated today. I want people to understand we're in this room. We're verifying our words, right? We're verifying the fact that we call ourselves Christians. We're in the church today. We're not in a mosque. That's not Christianity. That's Islam. We're not in a Buddhist temple. That's obviously Buddhism. We are in a church, and we call ourselves Christians. Last night, 20 people or more were murdered in Orlando who were in a gay bar identifying with homosexuality. And they believe that it's possible that the man who murdered them was because he, in his orientation of Islam, deemed that homosexuality is worthy of death, so he killed them all. Jesus came to die for all of us, didn't he? Let me say that again. He came to die for all of us. Every one of us in this room, Christ loves us. And I want you to understand something today. As an American, I am, and I'll take my glasses off set, I'm proud of my scars and stripes. I'm honored that I could serve my country. And when people say to me, do you have any regrets? That's plural. I have one regret. I shared this last night with Vietnam vets. If I was going to hurt this much, and it was going to last this long, I wish it had been for the cause of Christ. I wish I could say to all these precious young people down here, yeah, they tied me to a stake and set me on fire because they didn't agree with my philosophical, political, or more perfectly, my religious point of view, which I'm not a religious man. I'm a man that believes in relationships. You know, religion is dangerous, if you know what I mean. I would rather have a relationship than to have a mantra that I live by that I don't really trust or believe. I believe in Christ. And if I was going to suffer, I wish it had been for him. But in this case, second best is not first loser. Did you follow that thought? Second best is not first loser. So you're saying, what's second best? Well, if I'm not going to suffer for Jesus, I'm proud I suffer for my country because I believe freedom is worth dying for. I believe America is a worthy sacrifice that our children and our grandchildren, and for those of us in our soon to be in our 70s and older, our great-grandchildren, can grow up and have the free expression of their heart toward Jesus. If you agree with that, put your hands together. Give me some support. Amen. In saying that, I would like to express to you my appreciation of last night. Thank you, sweetheart. Of last night with the Vietnam vets of this community that came out. We had a blast. I just didn't have anything to say. I couldn't think of anything to say. For 2 hours, I didn't shut up. We had a blast. And one of the things that all of us share in common, whether it's a physical injury or emotional, is that we've paid a price for what we believe in. I was privileged once after I had just gotten out of the hospital, just back from the war, and I was in the hospital a year and 2 months. And I went to a huge gathering of ministers, and it was about 30,000 people, but 15,000 ministers were present. And they gave great speeches, marvelous, and it encouraged and enhanced my life. But the last guy was unannounced until he came out. And they didn't announce his name. He chose to announce himself. He walked out, and I'm sitting there with one eye, one ear, one nostril with my little teenage wife, fresh out of the hospital, mutilated, burned, scaring children to death. They'd run up, look at me, and run into stuff. Sometimes I'd go, I shouldn't do that. They didn't run at all. They just stood there and peed all over themselves, you know. And I'm sitting in this crowd of all these people, and And this man stands up and he said, "My name is Robinson Reisner. I'm a colonel in the United States Air Force. I was shot down over North Vietnam, and I've spent 7.5 years in the Hanoi Hilton, better known as legally as the Wallow Prison." And he said, 4.5 of those years in solitary confinement. Wow. Next thing I know, I'm doing this in a crowd of people that I'm embarrassed to be seen because of my just one eye, one ear, one nostril. All this was yet to be carved out after they put new skin on me off my legs. And they put this, yes, it was my legs. Otherwise, you wouldn't know if I was coming or going. If you didn't catch that, Pastor will be back next week. Ask him. And my wife, my little wife, just a little girl, really just pulling on my coat. "Baby, sit down. You're going to embarrass yourself." She said, "Why are you standing?" And I thought a minute, and being Navy, I said, "There's an officer on deck." And Navy understands that when the officer steps on deck, you stand. It's a respect thing. You stand until he says, "As you were," or "At ease," or "Be seated," or something, to relieve you from that attention because he is your leader. I said, "There's an officer on deck." She said, "What?" I said, "Baby." And then I said, "He's a national hero. I cannot sit in the presence of a man who's paid such a price for my freedom." And I stood in respect. And then it got worse. I took off and went up on the stage. There were all these thousands and thousands of people. I walked right out on the stage. And when I did, those previous speakers all backed up. Some covered their mouths. Some said, "Oh, Jesus." I thought they were praying, but maybe they were cursing. Everybody took a step backwards except Robinson Reisner, who took a step forward, put his hand out and took mine. Shook my hand, and with his other hand pointed at my mutilated face, and he said, "Vietnam?" in the form of a question. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Son, I'm sorry." I shook his hand free, and it embarrassed me. I looked at him and said, "I didn't come here for your pity. I came here to thank you for what you did for my freedom. Thank you, Colonel." That night we became fast and furious friends for the rest of his life. He just died a few years ago. Until that, we traveled the world together on behalf of the United States military. He would share surviving as a prisoner of war, and I shared surviving traumatic battlefield injury. I got to tell you something. Whenever you've paid the price, you love it. And I'm going to show you where that statement came from. Anything free, by the way, is never appreciated. Just can't be compared to something you've earned or paid the price for. He looked at me and he said, as he took my hand, he said, "Young man, when you've suffered for America, don't you love her so much more?" That statement was burned into my soul and I've never forgotten it. I have it written down in a number of places to let me never forget not only the statement, but the man who made it to me. So I come to you today and I tell you that a little preacher's kid grew up without television, did not know who John Wayne was till I was 21. I accepted him as my, never mind. John Wayne was a great actor, but he didn't bleed one drop of blood for my freedom. So he's not my hero. A guy that can jump up and slam dunk a basketball is not my hero. Has he bled for me? Has he bled for my freedom? Am I a better man today because he's making $10 trillion, zillion dollars because he can jump up and stuff a ball through a net? Am I better off? No. Am I better off because some guy can kick a ball through an upright or pass more yardage than anyone in history? No, I'm not better off. I was entertained maybe, but are they my heroes? No. There sits my heroes. People who believed freedom was worth putting their life out there on the line. I want children to grow up that are influenced by me to know that if there's anything good about my experience, that they can look and say he was willing to give his life for something bigger and greater than the total of his sum parts. He believed in freedom. Not just America. I believe in freedom. And so in saying that, a kid growing up had no idea what war was. I never even saw my own parents fight. Some kids go to war and thank God it's better than what they grew up in. Not me. My mother was invalid. When I was born, she started dying, and from that day until she died, I never knew one day of my life with a mom that was well. She was never, ever well until she died. And in the meantime, I had a Mexican nanny that raised me mostly, and I didn't speak English until I was 6 years old. I had learned English to go to school, and they told me I was not a Mexican. They did. They said I cried for 2 weeks. And in learning English and finding out I wasn't Mexican, life was a real uproar for me. But I managed. And at 16, I fell in love with a beautiful girl and asked her to marry me. She slapped me. She was 13. She said, I'm 13 years old. I said, I know, but you have the body of a 14-year-old. She slapped me again. We got off to a really rough start. But she said, if you love me, you'll wait for me. I said, I'll pick you up at 10. I don't mind waiting. I knew what she meant. I waited. She graduated. We got married. And that was 48 years ago, and we're still married. What do you think of that? And when I tell public schools that we were both virgin when I got married, they fall out. Some of them pass out. Can't be. Then I tell them 48 years later, and they think I'm going to say we're still virgin. Then they really pass out. I got to tell you something. She was worth waiting for. And when we got married, I didn't know what was coming. Neither one of us knew, but immediately following that, I'm in Bible college studying for the ministry, and I get a notice to take my physical. I'm being inducted in the Army. I didn't want to serve in the military. Not that I didn't love the military. I just didn't know anything about it. And not even having ever seen a war movie or knew anything about war. I mean, it was like I'm being invited to join a death march, and I'm the subject of the matter. I thought, man, I don't belong. It's not me. But I went down and joined the Navy so I wouldn't get hurt serving in the Army. You ever get up one morning and have a bad year? Well, I did. I joined the Navy. First thing I know, I'm out of boot camp and into what's called Naval Amphibious Base, Coronado, California, with the United States Navy Special Warfare Command, SWC, better known as SWCC. And I'm put into a little fiberglass riverboat, and I'm the forward gunner, and I'm assigned to SEAL Team 1 in Vietnam as a brown water black beret. And I'm going to tell you, those SEALs are the meanest people I've ever met in my life. They eat rocks. They eat their young. They eat other people's young. They don't care. I served with the greatest of the greatest. And I got to tell you something. Looking back, there were many a times people say, you'd do it again. I wanted to hit them. I didn't want to do it the first time. I was running. You know, I'm no hero. I played football in the ninth grade. It hurt so bad I quit and joined the band and watched other kids get hurt. And now I'm serving in Vietnam as a brown water black beret assigned to SEAL Team 1. We had the highest killed in action, KIA, record per capita of anybody in the war. Now, they didn't call us KIA because when we got hit, we went down with a boat. And when the boat went down, the body's not retrieved. They don't call you KIA because they look for you for 7 years. And after 7 years, if they can't find your body, then you're listed KIA. Until then, you're MIA, missing in action. A guy tried to sell me a car the other day, spelled KIA. Do not buy that. That thing will kill you in auto. That's a joke. That's a great car. I wish I could afford it. So with that said, I'm serving with some pretty tough guys, and I knew when I kissed her goodbye and I said, I'll be back without a scar, I knew I was lying to her. I made a promise I couldn't keep. And when I said, I'll be back without a scar, something inside of me said, you're right. You will come back different than you're leaving. And when I kissed her trembling lips goodbye, and I can taste the salt today of the tears from her face, I feel so bad for her sometimes. She was with me last year. She this year couldn't come because we're getting ready to leave on a 6.5-week tour, and she had business that had to be done for an audit coming up, and she just couldn't come. But I got to tell you something. For all of you military wives, those of you who had a husband, or for those of you who are married and your wife served, and that's very common in today's military, I got to tell you something. As a spouse, thank you for your sacrifice. It is as valid and as horrific and as painful as those who went off to war. They were, and I don't mean this in a polite way, entertained. We were entertained in war. Our mind was constantly busy. But when you're at home, and especially if you're the mom, your mom and dad, your mom and lawyer, your mom and doctor, your mom and, you get what I'm saying, your plumber, your banker, your everything, and it's not fair. And I just say thank you to all the spouses who never get thanked for what you've done for our freedom. And I think they deserve a big hand. Yeah, for all the spouses. Yes, sirree. And on July the 26th, and I hate to say 1969 with all these young people here. When I say 1969, they think, ooh, right after the War of 1812. It was after, but not right after. A sniper took his best shot trying to shoot at my head, I guess, because my hand was raised with a white phosphorus hand grenade in it, and he fired the round. The bullet hit my hand, and it exploded 6 inches from my right ear, which blew everything off except the shadow of my hand right here, and that was second-degree burn because my clothes were set on fire. But a second-degree burn means there's still some skin left. As small as it may be, it could be only one layer of cell tissue, but it'll grow back. Everything else over half my body lost all of its skin. And in 1 second, I went blind in my eye, deaf in my ear, blew my ear off, blew my face off, blew my hair off. I got my hair back. I bought it. There's a guy in China. He's bald. Made in China. Well, I got my vision back, too. Even though my eye was burned and scorched, I got my vision back. And just a couple of weeks ago at Brooke Army Medical Center, where I was sent right after my injury in Vietnam, they called me back in. Literally, it's been about a month now. And the eyelid doesn't blink because all the muscle and everything was blown off. And they made a cover for my eye because I was about to lose it. It was drying out. And they made a cover that is an eyelid that you can see through. And I can see through it right now. I see you perfectly. And 46 years of amazing pain that never went away from that right eye because it couldn't blink. It felt like somebody stuck their finger in my eye. That, you know how that feels? Everybody in here has had something hurt your eye. You know the pain? You have more nerve endings in your eye than any other part of your entire body. More of them are in your eye. And when your eye gets offended or hurt, it hurts like nothing else. 46 years of pain. They put the cover on my eye, and 30 seconds later, 46 years of pain went away. And it has not hurt since. I'm still living a dream. It doesn't matter my age. My body's getting older, but my spirit is still 19 years old and refuses to surrender. And with things like that that they've done, and the 12 screws put into 6 vertebrae and 2 rods in my back since I last saw you, I live without any back pain. I only have to sit down because of back cramps, which are getting better every day. I am a happy, happy man. That's in life. Isn't that one of the goals of life, to be happy? Don't you want to be happy? I have my soul secured because I know in whom I have believed that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So I am happy because it's well with my soul. I'm happy because of the woman I married, and she's still my best friend on the face of this planet. I'm happy because of the fact that I have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with millions of people every year. I'm happy because I'm without the pain today. This is a good life. If I never lived another day, it's been a good life. And I'm saying that to some of you who are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Your life has been a miserable failure in your own eyes, and you just wish it was over with. Don't wish that. Look at me, and let me tell you, there's hope at the end of the tunnel. And the light is not a train coming at you. It's the end of a long, dark path that you've walked. When you put your faith and hope in the Son of God, when you are willing to rise above your own ego and think that, well, I can fix it myself. You can't. Look how long you've tried and it's got worse. Give God a chance. Let him make the difference. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who believed in him should not perish but have life everlasting. I went to war with an M16, but I came home with a John 3:16. And I got to tell you, the weapon of my warfare is not carnal. It's mighty through God. Give it up for Jesus in the house. It's about him, not me. I was hospitalized 1 year and 2 months, and I remember the first day at Brooke Army Medical Center, they let visitors come in, and a woman came in to see her husband in the bed next to mine. And she looked at him, and he had no skin, guaranteed to die, 100% third degree. She took off her wedding ring and threw it on the bed. She said, "You're embarrassing. I couldn't walk down the street with you." She walked out. And he died. Just like at first to go. Of 13 of us, he was the first, and I'm the last. There are 12 who died before I ever left that hospital. I'm the only one still living. Because the 13th obituary is an epic story of the faithfulness of God. Jesus never fails. The next person in loved Jesus more than she loved me. She walked up. She denied that it was me. She didn't recognize me. She said to the doctor, "That's not my husband." She looked at me, and my heart just sank. I thought, oh, God, no, please. She's going to throw a ring on the bed and walk out. So he comes up to the pillow, head of the bed, and I'm laying there looking up with one good eye. And he turns my wrist, and there's my name on the tag. Now it's undeniable. She says, that's him. And the angels leaned over the banister of heaven, if I can be so crude to say, and hushed each other's wings and listened. Because what would come past her lips next would be heaven or hell for me. And she looked me in my good eye, which sounds bad, and she said to me, I just want you to know I love you. Welcome home, Davy. And when she says, Davy, I said, Doc, I'm getting better. I looked at her and I said, baby, I'm sorry. She said, why? I said, I can't ever look good for you again. She said, you never were good looking. Listen at you. Y'all are cold. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall tick thee off, but it'll set you free. The truth will set you free. And if this truth works, it'll set you free. It's not about us. It's about him in us. This is what makes us different out there in that world. This is what coming to church is for. We get to wash off a whole week of getting dirty on this planet by the language and the lifestyles and the things we see and hear as believers. Aren't you glad you can come to church and take a bath? Doesn't it feel good? Go ahead. Show your love to Jesus. He's what makes the difference. So I left the hospital after a year and 2 months, and I was fine until 9/11. And all those years I built this ministry, on 9/11, everything I believed in was challenged again. And I wanted to go out and defend my country against those that not only hate us because we're Americans, they hate us because we support Israel, and they hate us because we're Christians, and they want to kill us all, every one of us. And I was willing to go put my life on the line again to fight against those radicals. Well, they said, no, you're too old and too fat. They said, we could put you in the military, but we'd have to go to Dallas tent and awning to have a uniform built. So I knew I couldn't serve, but 2 weeks later, I got a call from Department of Defense. They said, we want you to serve, but not in the military. We want you to serve as a contractor in the Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program, and you will be a resiliency coach. And my job is to go into every hellhole on this planet where our troops are and encourage them with the love of Jesus. That's what they send me to do to this day. That is the best job I could ever have. So I've been with Department of Defense for all these years, and it's been one of the joys that many of our chaplains can't even do. But because I'm not in uniform, I'm not U.S. military, I don't have to live by the same exact set of rules some of our chaplains do. So I get to do things otherwise I wouldn't have had. I'm trying to tell you, that day in Vietnam, July 26, 1969, God wasn't sleeping, and this happened because he failed. This happened, and he didn't stop it from happening because he didn't do it to me. But he did not stop it from happening because he saw a greater purpose. And that greater purpose I'm living out every day of my life today. Yeah, it would be a lot easier to have never been burned. But they would not listen to me in the United States military, in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, UAE, Afghanistan, Iraq, and many other countries I don't speak of. They wouldn't send me there if I didn't have this scar that those warriors look at me and they say, you know how we feel. Jesus didn't go to Calvary in a limousine to die by lethal injection. They crucified the Son of God, hands up, palms out, suffering like all of humanity does. We all suffer. That's not the question. The question in life is, when you get hurt, how are you going to deal with it? That's the big question. And when Jesus held his hands up and the disciples saw the risen Savior with all of the wounds of war, they believed him and they were saved. And their lives have affected all of our lives ever since. So I'm not ashamed of my scars either. I don't see Jesus apologizing to anybody. So I'm not going to apologize for my scars. Sometimes I do when I shake hands, say, oh, sorry about the hand, because it's wadded up and it doesn't extend properly. And it's a little surprising to people that don't know my hand is so crippled. But I always say, sorry about the hand. It still shakes good, though. And the fact is, God had his hand on my life through all of this. And after September 11, 2001, God gave me a cause that I could live with in my country and in all the countries I'm sent to. And I have no regrets. Now you understand that statement, don't you? It's a joy to serve my country. But I need to close, and I'll quickly tell you that we have a little four-minute video, and I hope you can stay with me for that. And I'm trying to watch my time because we do have other people that want to come in. It'd be kind of bad for me to lead you to a great relationship with Christ and then getting a fist fight over a parking spot out there. So we're going to, I'll try to be careful on this time. But this four-minute video says what I have a hard time saying, because sometimes pictures are better than words. But you'll see the places I go, downrange, they call it. You'll see the men and women I work with. Then you'll see our ranches, one in Colorado, one in Texas. You'll see some of the things we do. And then at the end, you'll see what's called the angel flight. And across the Middle East, I have flown. They didn't fly me from Baghdad to Dover Air Force Base on the angel flight, because I get to Baghdad with the remains of our fallen heroes. Then they'd send me somewhere else to bring back those remains to be prepared for the shipment home. I have sat many times on C-130s looking at the caskets draped with flags. They're not called caskets at that time. They're called transfer cases. And in those cases lie the remains of those that loved me more than themselves, who loved you more than themselves. There is no greater love than those that are willing to die for their friends. And I've sat wondering how many lawyers and doctors, how many professionals of the greatest callings of life lay here now, brought to a sudden end. No children, no grandchildren, no future for that fallen soul. Only to realize for every drop of a martyr's blood, for every life taken for the cause of freedom, somewhere will spring up thousands of people free because somebody was willing to pay the price. I hope this video speaks to you, and then I'll close right after that. Thank you for your patience. Would you roll that video? As we conclude this morning's service, at the end of this video, I like to remind people that there's another angel flight coming. And every one of us will stand before God, good, bad, or ugly, for what we've lived, said, done, our life, we'll give account for it. Believe me, it will happen. Whether you accept that or not, now it doesn't change the fact. People don't believe man went to the moon. There are a lot of people think that was all set up out of Hollywood. But there's footprints on that planet, on that celestial body, that prove we've been there. I'm going to say this to you. When that angel flight comes, is it well with your soul? Would you follow me in a simple prayer? Pray it out loud with me. If you know Christ, renew your vows with me. Let's renew our vows. But if you don't know Christ, make this your beginning of a walk with Jesus. Are you ready? Let's pray it together out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence. After all, it is your house. Thank you for speaking into my life that I can do nothing without you. You know me better than I know myself. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me what I should be. As today I receive you, I confess I've sinned, but I confess you're the Savior. Wash away all my past sins. And with my new beginning now, through my confession of faith that you are the Son of God, that you lived without sin, you died for my sin, but you rose again, and I believe it. And because of my faith this day, I'll be ready when you come back again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a beautiful celebration hand clap. Wow, welcome to the house of God today. Welcome to the family of God. To close, before you walk out, you have an opportunity to help us. Friday night, not before last, what you saw in that picture, took place again for the umpteenth time, as they say. We graduated another beautiful class of warriors from Brooke Army Medical Center that have come out of the warrior transition units at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and Fort Carson, right there in Colorado Springs. It was a fantastic session, but it cost me $30,000. Oh, don't worry. We paid the bill. We're good to go. But the next one's coming up. It's going to cost us probably, and last year, or pardon me, 2 years ago, we didn't do it last year because I had engagements that couldn't be changed. But we're doing, again, our family camp, which runs about $75,000 to put on. It's huge, and they come from all over the country. I need your help today if you're willing to participate. If it offends you that I ask, I wasn't talking to you. I'm only talking to the people that are not offended. See, I'm safe. I'm cool. And if you think it's all about money, it's not about you or money. This is about someone else besides you. So if it offends you, I'm not talking to you. But to those of you who care with me, for those who have sacrificed, for the children who don't understand why Daddy has this artificial shiny thing on his legs, they don't understand why Daddy comes home and can get up at the table and walk away turning the chair over angry because something set him off or pulled the triggers in his life that just don't suit him anymore. They don't understand. Help me help them, would you? It's coming up this August, and I've got to put together the $75,000 above and beyond all of our operating expenses. Thank you for your help in this today. If any of you give a $1,000 or more gift, you are automatically, instantaneously matched with your gift Monday morning by Banker Insurance of Fort Worth, Texas. All the way up to a gift of $100,000, he matches it. If you gave, don't worry, I'm not expecting you to give, you know, three or four of you may, but I understand. But he's done that 6 times. But he matches all the $1,000 or more gifts. And you can give through your church here, and you can give through, if you want to use your credit card or your neighbor's card, the one you found in their parking lot. If you give $1,000 at our table or through the church, we will send you a plaque that is gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's got my 3 medallions for my military service in it. I think it's something that you'll appreciate as we give you our show of appreciation. But the true story is, very few people can give $1,000. I can't. But if you can, great. But the rest of us, we do what we can with what we've got. A $5 gift is just as important in the eyes of God as a $500,000 gift if it's your best gift for the cause. So I'm asking you not to sacrifice. I'm not asking for a sacrificial offering. I'm asking today for a merciful offering. Will you be merciful to those who have protected us? And there will not be a Taliban hand grenade down the aisle of this church. Those who protect us from Al-Qaeda truck bombs in that parking lot. Would you help me help them? And let's show them thank you, because we're safe today while we slept last night and celebrate our freedom today. We're safe because the United States military was willing to be unsafe, and we're up all night watching over us. Help me say thank you to those who've given. Pastor's going to come. He's going to tell you how to make out your check. $1,000 is spelled T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. The O is the important word in there. Oh. But whatever you give today will go to that cause. Let me just drop this little information for you. Every year we're audited. Every year our finances are reviewed. And let me tell you what percentage goes to the warrior that you give to. When you give to our program, 95 to 97% of your gift goes to the exact cause you're giving to. In this case, our warriors being transformed through our programs, including especially our summer program for the family camp. 4 to 5% is an average that goes to administration costs. There are programs out there we're not part of. And I want to tell you right off the bat, we are not part of Wounded Warrior Project. I have nothing to do with them, never have and never will, and I refuse to take their money. We do not take federal grants, zero. No dollar has ever come to us from the federal government for our programs, because when I surrender to their money, I surrender to them my freedom of religion, and it's not for sale for 30 pieces of silver. You agree? So everywhere I go, Pastor, this is the same story. We look to the body of Christ. We look to the family of God to say thank you for those who protect us. Thank you for letting me go a little bit over. I apologize. You're an awesome crowd. You have been so polite and enjoyable to talk to. In sign language, that means I love you. But my thumb got blown off, so I speak sign language with a lisp. It means I love you. I really, really do. At the end of the service, I'm going to go back and autograph books. Remember, if you take those three books, may I give to you. Matter of fact, today I think I'll do something different. And Kathy, I know you slipped out to do that, if you can hear me. Last year, some of you bought a book. If you take at least two books or one book in this video series, I don't want you to feel like you have to buy something you've already got. If you take the new book about the children in schools and the video series, we want to throw in that bracelet for you. So it'll be our sign of thank you. And don't forget to fill that out. Friends, it's been a joy to be back at Clearview. You don't know what you've got here. You should travel with me and see some of the places I go and hear some of the things. You ought to hear some of the music I've had to sit through. You guys are awesome. You had great. You did a good job. They get up and say, y'all pray for us while we try to sing. They start singing. I start praying. Oh, God, help them. Help me get through it. This was beautiful today. It's great to be back. I'm Dave Reber, and I approve of this message.
Folks, at this time, would you please have a seat? We've asked our ushers to come forward, and this is a special offering that we're doing as a church. All that's given during this time of offering will go to the Dave Reber Foundation. So if you are making out a check and so convicted to do that, please make it out to the Dave Reber Foundation, R-O-E-V-E-R. And you can also step outside of the doors, and there are two tables set up, not only with the merchandise, but Dave will be there. And you can handle any type of donation there as well. But again, as Dave said, these gifts are designated and will go directly towards what he described to you, particularly as they prepare for this fall and try to get ready to welcome military families to one of their camps. We want you to be aware of that. We want to encourage, we're supportive and endorse what Dave's doing here. It's why we keep bringing him back. It's something that's close to our heart. There are many people here in our community, not only in Clearview, but in BV, that have served in our militaries. I am the son of a father who served in the United States Army and the military police during the Chicago riots, and I'm the father of a son of 15 years old that wants to serve in our military. So as we bring this to you, please just pray about it. There's no pressure. The invitation's been made. If there's a conviction and you want to be a part of this, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. So let me pray for us, and then our ushers will pass the baskets. Mariana's going to be playing some light music to that. And when they're done, you can exit on out. And if you have any questions for me, then I'd be glad to answer them at that time. And over the course of the week, if you have additional questions or you're not prepared to give, but over the course of the week you'd like to, feel free to stop into our office and we can receive those and move those on towards Dave and his team. Okay? Let me pray for us. Gracious Father, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for Dave and Kathy, for the team that was here. I give you thanks for the work that they do with the brokenhearted and with the broken bodies of those who've served in our military. I think of these gatherings. I think of Dave's trips around the world into the hell holes that he's described, to the darkest corners of where we have men and women serving. And this morning, we want to provide prayer and practical financial support for the work that's going on there. A work to those who've been traumatized by what they've experienced, a work that's ongoing. We want our military veterans, as they come home from service, to be received with open arms. And not only with open arms, but with loving arms and caring arms that are continuing to provide care and support for them and their families out of appreciation for the sacrifice that they've made for our freedom. So this morning, God, take the gifts that are offered, use them, multiply them, and use them to bless the work that's going on to reach these men and women and the spouses and the children that have been affected by their service. We pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.